Welcome to the Early Wedge Best Bet Show. I'm your host, EC. We have a busy episode for you this week. We're going to talk about Bryson's lies, Ryan Fox's speed of the way he plays, my social calendar, apparently, according to Sia's tweet, and the fact that we have a new member of the No Bet list, and I bet you can't guess who it is. You'll find out later in the show. But let's bring in the stars of the show. We have Sia, we have Josh in for Sobel, and we have Patrick. And Patrick, I'm going to start with you. Let's talk, first of all, Ryan Fox. I mean, we bet these things. We go over, I give you all these trends. By the way, the guys finished second and third on my trends last week in Sam Burns and Cam Young. Ryan Fox, I mean, how shocked are you? Just thoughts on his performance.
Here are the trends for you, EC, that you need to start digging into. I'll start sending you the data immediately. Scottish Open week, I was on Ryan Fox. He did not win. Open Championship week, I was on Tom Kim. He did not win. So do the old switch. I wish there was a way you could like do an old switcheroo situation, but for next season, something to keep an eye on. For Foxy, though, just a guy of, I would say, immense talent in shot making for him. And you know, the term proper player gets thrown out there a lot, but he's definitely up there. And I think with him, he probably doesn't get the recognition because he's only been on the PGA Tour for, this is his third year now. But think about it, his second year, he won two times. And you can poke fun at the Myrtle Beach Classic and the Canadian Open, but think about how he won those tournaments in a playoff with a birdie at Myrtle Beach and a playoff over Sam Burns with a birdie at the Canadian Open as well. He's won the BMW PGA Championship too. I agree with you. It's odd his game hasn't translated more on major stage. He hits it fast. He has a crafty short game. He's a great putter, as we saw. A ton of shots with the irons too. And I think it just was one of those weeks where everything came together for him.
I play golf like the way, well, not like the way Ryan Fox plays, but at the speed of Ryan Fox. I mean, clearly, I like to play fast. I don't understand why these guys take forever. Get out there, hit the ball, move on. All right, speaking of not moving on, Josh, you are a rules of the game guy. I mean, you know better than I do. Your thoughts on the Bryson ruling on Friday, did they get it right?
Did they get it right? Absolutely. I'm honored and a bit surprised by the I'm a rules of the game guy. Didn't know that.
Rules
appreciate
guy.
That.
appreciate he's the weather that guy. You're a rules you know, of the game gosh, guy.
I spent a summer interning at like a state golf association in college, and I was a communications intern. But the fear of God, anytime I ended up anywhere near a rules controversy, don't get me anywhere near having to talk to a 17-year-old about why. That's not actually a plugged lie. But anyways, yeah, they pretty clearly got it right. The whole theatrics performance of what happened after is, I mean, you're allowed to be upset about a ruling that doesn't go your way. Bryson's not unique for that. But to kind of hold the whole place hostage for hours after his round is, I don't love it. And I do think that the rules were applied correctly, even if that's not always the case around professional golf. And that's probably part of the conversation as well.
Sia, we saw Rory McIlroy come out and make some comments about Bryson. And I think it's great for golf when we have him saying, yeah, I don't like this guy. And I don't like his antics the other day. I really want to see Bryson back on tour somehow next year. Are you with me on that?
Everybody's with you. Even the people who don't like him or hate him are with you. I mean, he is so good for golf. I was actually surprised at Rory's comments. Just in that moment, I was surprised by it. But yeah, if Bryson's back on the PGA Tour is already thriving. But if he's back on the PGA Tour next year or whenever it is, I think that's really. By the way, I wouldn't have assessed him a penalty. Not that anybody cares what I think about the rules and the RNA, but like to me. The lawyer in me, like beyond a reasonable doubt, like you got to be so sure, not just that the grass was stomped down, but that it actually affected that shot. And if you're not, to me, in that moment, because I'm adding some context, it's a major, it's Bryson. What are the optics of that if you're punishing that particular player? Just factoring all of that in, I wouldn't have assessed the penalty. I mean, I get why Josh is saying that. I think most people agree with him, but man, I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't have levied that.
Patrick, if it was Scottie Scheffler, does he get penalized?
Yeah.
Really? But see, yeah. The problem that I have with it, and Sia talked about, when you are, people are watching on TV, like I saw a penalty, like that, we can't, that doesn't make the game better.
If yeah, I think that's one of the cases you could be made for the Bryson camp is like, you know, all 72 holes of his that week are on camera, and that's not the case for
right
90% of the field. And I think the other case you could be mad at is, why didn't you tell me this on the fifth hole, mm-hmm. right? Why did we have to wait until after the round for all of this to happen? And so I think there's like selective enforcement that, as you mentioned, could probably be a point where he gets upset about, and definitely has a case there. But I think by the letter of the law, it's 100% a penalty. Patrick, like, think about it. If you take a practice swing and your club hits a branch and a little leaf falls off, guess what? That's a penalty. You're improving your swing path.
What about Scotty on 17 on Sunday?
That's a joke. That's a horrible rule. That is a horrible rule. That is a joke.
All right. I'm glad.
He followed the rules. He followed the rules there. But that is a horrible rule. That's different.
And there is a difference between not liking the rule and thinking that the rule was enforced correctly or incorrectly. There are some dumb rules in golf, starting with TIO. Yeah, the Scottie Scheffler stuff is ridiculous and crazy, but there's a difference between not liking the rule itself and following the rule as it is written. And I think there's some of that in both situations.
It's a good thing Scottie didn't.
Scheffler should have withdrawn if he had any on.
Oh, get out of it.
Personally, like, absolute ridiculous. I put it out on Twitter, and people who don't understand my tone were letting me have it. I said if he had any honor, he'd tack two strokes onto his score. They were
go viral everywhere, by the way. I see like Zyre Golf picks up your tweets like once a month.
Oh, they're worst.
I hate
the aggregators, EC. I hate
really.
Them. Nuclear golf. Bryson DeChambeau has gone nuclear.
See ya. Can't stand. Let's talk. Let's move on to the 3M Open. We got our Open Championship, stuff out of the way. So let's talk about the bubble. Now we're 3 weeks away from the end of the regular season. We got the 3M Open. We got the Rocket Classic. Then we have the Wyndham Championship. Where do you kind of stand with things this week heading into Minnesota?
Well, I certainly don't think that people who are on the bubble suddenly play better because they're, you know, stressed out or, you know, motivated to get inside the top 70, top 100, 125, whatever the case may be. But I do think it's compelling theater nonetheless. I mean, we've got Matt has put up the current FedEx Cup standings on that sort of bubble watch. And look at some of these names. Mac Meisner is going to be a popular selection in this show, I think, but also just in general. You got Johnny Kiefer, who a lot of people like. I think a lot of people are probably surprised to see Brian Harman, Tom Hoagie outside the top 70 right now. Steven Yeager, Austin Smotherman, who was so good at the beginning of the year and then completely fell off the map. If you go down even a little bit further, I think Jackson Suber is somewhere in that area as well, but the long and short of it is, I think this is compelling stuff. And I do think we as, you know, we're not like, I guess we are media, but, you know, the Patricks of the world and the CBSs and whoever else is broadcasting, I think really could lean into this. By the way, Super 79 on that chart, or maybe he's 80 now. But either way, I think this is really compelling because there's so many implications, not just for the bubble people to get into the playoffs, but the top 100, and I believe, unless the rules have changed, and I don't know, but the top 125 for the conditional status, that's a really big deal.
Super dropped down to 80 because his trackers are fighting on Twitter. No, he's 79, though. Pendrith is 80.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well, 2 weeks, see ya. Things are going to get really interesting at the Wyndham, and that's where you find betting opportunities for guys that are going to press, either fade or, you know, buy into him. Josh, you think it's going to be a youth movement this weekend at TPC Twin Cities?
I'm hoping. Well, first of all, the final word of the Open can't be Bryson. It has to be Ryan Fox. So shout out Ryan Fox, champion golfer of the year. I'm hoping it's a Young Stars week because, quite frankly, I'm unlikely to be locked into a Steven Yeager Taylor Moore duel down the stretch, mm-hmm. with all due respect to Steven Yeager and Taylor Moore. But I think, you know, I'm going to lean a bunch on talent. Now I've got one bet coming that it couldn't be less young star, couldn't be less talent based, but I'm manifesting it. I'd love to see some of these guys, Ben James, Jackson Coyvin, Preston Stout is in the field as well. I'd love to see some of those guys be near the top as we get deep into this week, because it could be a week that falls by the wayside really, really quickly if some of those big names don't pop.
I haven't looked, EC, but when he said couldn't be like less young or you know, less talent-based, I'm like, who's he insulting right now that's on his outright card? And for some reason, the immediate name that came to mind, and I honestly don't know, is Corey Connors. I don't know why that's the name that came to mind, but anyway, I guess we'll find out.
Someone in the twilight of his career. It's a long shot. It's okay. I'm allowed to insult a guy that's 135-1 without Scotty Market.
I was thinking of Patrick's make the cut parlay last week, where Patty Harrington.
Patty Harrington, dude.
Oh man, doesn't help when he started
on
80
Friday.
On round Real nice. 80 on round Real nice. One.
Stu Sink hit his first tee shot out of bounds. I woke up to that. It's like nice triple.
This Molinari was carrying for it.
Played well.
My storyline is, listen, Scotty's in this field for some reason. He's probably getting a bunch of money from 3M. But we got to talk about, if Scotty doesn't win this event, he has 10 top fives this year. But, I mean, look at that, 10 top fours. I mean, this is unbelievable. And 16 starts. This guy, he won the American Express for thing, and this guy's going to win like 8 times. Didn't you say that, Patrick, that Scotty was going to win like 8 times this year? Something like that?
No. I said he was going to win 10 times this year.
10 times.
Please get it correct.
Well, you got top fours, right? I mean,
I did. Close. I count those. Fours, right?
Yeah.
Each ways, 1-4.
Patrick, do you agree that if Scotty doesn't win this event with this lower caliber field that we have an
he
issue?
He should quit.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. Do we have an issue? No, but I would be very surprised if he does not win. But
right.
I wouldn't say an issue. It's just, it's very weird. It's really the only way I can put it. Like, you can't really put your finger on it. You can say last week he didn't make enough putts. Proximity with the wedges has been poor. Maybe he was forcing it down the stretch at some certain points. But, gosh, he is playing, like, sensational golf. Like,
yeah.
Clearly the best player in the world still. It's just it's bizarre.
Go ahead, Josh.
I think the biggest difference between Scotty last year and this year is this feeling of inevitability that he's not going to make a mistake, that he's going to force guys to be perfect. Like, I don't really feel that in 2026, and part of it is because he, you know, hasn't won in so long. But I always think about the PGA and the way that Rahm played the back nine at Quail Hollow, the par five, kind of blowing his eagle putt past and then having like 6 feet for birdie, and he ends up missing that one, making par. And it just always felt like every guy was trying to be as perfect as possible because they knew Scotty was going to be. And I don't feel that that's the case this year. But again, he's like 3 strokes away from winning like 4 or 5 times. So
yeah, I mean, exactly.
To piggyback off that, he had 6 54 hole leads last year. He's had 0 this year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, let's talk about first-round leaders. Sia, you are the master of FRLs, and you have a 5-pack. Now, is there a wave advantage that you're playing this week? Or
not really. The weather looks like it's going to be pretty constant, particularly from a wind standpoint. It is going to pick up a little bit, but it's pretty negligible for Thursday. I think we're looking at almost no wind in the morning, and then, like, at most, let's see what Matt has it at. Yeah, 10 miles per hour, 18 mile per hour gusts. I mean, I'm not even sure it's going to get that high, but these are not like tough conditions. I'm still targeting morning guys, but honestly, if you went across the board, you'd be okay. Patrick, I didn't hit any first round leaders last week. Of course, we had the two events, but I did have Alejandro, your guy, ADR Alejandro Del Rey, as a first round leader, and he was one off because Todd Clements just went, just exploded for 3.8 or 9 rounds. So I almost got there.
Ugh.
Todd Clements.
Never heard of him. And the guy that won, never heard of him either. I don't know where these guys came from. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mazzola. Yeah, never 671 Stonefish says some of these guys at Sportsline work for the books. That he's probably referring to me because I've been kind of cold. Like the round matchups are still good, but everything else, including my outrights, been pretty cold. So I don't 617 Stonefish, but I hear you, buddy. Here are my first round leaders for the 3M Open. All morning guys. Yeah, all of these are morning guys. I like all these guys. We're going to talk about them more later. Most of these guys fit into the ball striking acumen, specifically Mac Meisner and William Mao. Really like their ball striking. Taylor Pendrith classically is a ball striker, but we haven't really seen it. But we did see it a couple of weeks ago. And I happen to think if we see vintage Taylor Pendrith, you know, just a great ball striker, I think he could actually lead after the first round. Grillo, that's more of a, at 82-1, that's more of a course history play, but we're starting to see flashes from him. Ball striking hasn't been that great for him, actually, but the putter is really heated up, and if he's going back to somewhere where he's comfortable and the ball striking comes back, we know the putter can get him there. And Max Homa, who we will talk about later in the show, 60-1 as a first round leader. He's playing really good golf. Enough said there.
I can't argue with that. Josh, you also have Grillo. We're going to talk. I can't believe I'm betting Emiliano Grillo this week. I can't believe all of us are betting Grillo this week. But this is what happened. Well, I don't know about Patrick, but this is what happens with – no, I figured. Josh, Sia talked about Grillo. Talk about Jackson Koivun as an FRL.
Yeah, 49-1. I just think if we're going to be as hot and heavy as we were for Jackson Koivun at the John Deere, we should be a little bit – more excited about him at the 3M, which is a field that's comparable, if not a little worse. Just a couple weeks later, obviously the putter failed him at John Deere, but he was right back in the mix last week. And I thought it was a getting my feet wet kind of performance last week. And I think we're going to continue to move in that direction. This is a golf course that if you get off the tee and stay dry, then you can just attack the place. And I think part of what made Koivun such a interesting and intriguing pro is that he just kind of knows how to golf his ball. I don't think he's going to make very many mistakes, and he can get just as hot with the putter as anyone else in the field. The only thing I'll add with Grillo at 82-1 is as Sia said, the putter is much better the last couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. All of those coming on bent grass greens. We're on bent grass greens again this week. So clearly has a good thing going with that surface. And NC also mentioned the course history. So him going out there and immediately feeling comfortable on the greens is not something I think is out of the realm of possibility.
And I gave this out on the early edge this morning in end of round one, top 20, Patrick Fishburne at +350. This includes ties. Guys, the definition of a fast starter and not so much of a finisher. His top 10s in three of his last four rounds. And then, well, he doesn't usually finish in the top 40, which is not great. So he has, in five of his last six first rounds, he was 24th or better. And he's finished in the top 40 once in those six tournaments. That's not great. But last year, he shot a 66 at the opening round of the 3M Open and was tied for 18th. So let's do it again at +350 and light up Sia's recap screen on Friday. On the early edge, that's what we need. So let's. Here's to hoping. Coming up next, go ahead, Patrick.
You see, I'm gonna make a late addition. I saw his name floated in the chat, and see his Canadian play on Taylor Pendrith reminded me of one Corey Connors at 60-1 to be your first round leader. So,
all right, Patrick, it pays to watch live. Patrick going Corey Connors, the ultimate. Well, that's
to be determined.
To be determined. The ultimate ball striker, Corey Connors, 60-1 for an FRL from Patrick. Coming up next, top Canadian, top UK and Ireland, and top South American. Who do you have? Well, we'll find out who our experts have after we hear from one of our sponsors. See, I ask you this every week, but your record of these matchup plays has been unbelievable for like the last 3 months. And you have a round one play at the 3M Open with a player that I'm picking as one of my outrights. Spoiler alert, start us off.
Yeah, and for the record, it has been good with the round matchups, but on this show, my tournament matchups have not been very, my early edge round matchup picks have like continued to be great. So you're giving me the compliment, I'm receiving it, but like I've been a little sketchy in some of the other stuff tournament matchup wise. All right, so The first matchup, I have a top South American, but the first matchup is a three ball round one matchup. I actually love these. I look for these. You can only you only see them over at DK where they'll take the three ball and they'll dice it up so you can go head to head. Round one three ball matchup, Max Homa minus 106. He's the dog, obviously, over Jake Knapp. Now, I know Jake Knapp has good history here, and I know Jake Knapp is a good course fit, but we haven't seen the Jake Knapp that we saw early in the year. Well, like we literally have not seen it yet. Maybe flashes here and there for a round or a half a round or what have you. But here's the thing. We have multiple outs here because even if we get that Jake Knapp, the way Max Homa is playing, the way he especially with his recent form, the way he played at some comp courses, Max Homa can get there even if Jake Knapp is good. But the other out is Jake Knapp just might not be back. And we've got Max Homa ball striking it and putting it. So I just don't understand why he's the dog here. Again, I might be missing something. Maybe Jake Knapp over the last week has just regained his form and everybody knows it. But I think this is an opportunity here. Max Homa over Jake Knapp. And then I've got a tournament matchup, Kurt Kitayama over Hideki Matsuyama. This is a case of both of these guys rating out about the same, but Kurt Kitayama's course history is so much better. Kitayama's been a little dicey off the tee, but that was over across the pond where Hideki was actually pretty good off the tee. Both of them a little erratic lately, though, when you look at their model stats off the tee and accuracy and things of that nature. But Kitayama's history here is too good. Hideki's isn't very good at all. I'll take that tournament matchup. Top South American, Emiliano Grillo, plus 132. DK has this number. Other books have this closer to plus 100 or plus 105. And again, this is kind of a five ball, but who here is going to contend with a guy with great course history? I know it can go sideways for anybody at this course. A lot of risk reward, a lot of water on the course, but Fabian Gomez, Alejandro Tosti has not been good. Camila Villegas, Marcelo Rosso. I don't know that any of these guys are even going to come close to making the cut. And I expect Grillo to make the cut and maybe thrive for a top 20 or so. So plus 132 is a very fair number for top South American.
I like it a lot. A lot of us like Grillo on this show, except for Patrick, as we mentioned. Josh, this is a really interesting one. Plus 680 on AJ Ewart against a stable of fellow Canadians.
Stable. Sure.
10 of them, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
AJ Ewart plus 680 to be top Canadian. The four guys ahead of him, if we can circumvent Corey Connors here in a birdie fest, I mean, Connors hasn't gained strokes putting on this continent since the Cadillac. So he putted a little better across the pond, but I'm just never going to be that scared of Corey Connors making a bunch of birdies. He could just have an incredible ball striking week and mess this up. That's totally possible. But Sudarshan Yalmaraju has been bad for like a month. Mackenzie Hughes is like outside the top 120 in this field and strokes gained approach and a birdie fest. That's a non-starter for me. And Taylor Pendrith, like he could finish fifth, but he could also finish outside of the top 60 is kind of the model of inconsistency. Everybody else I'm not especially worried about, which is famous last words, I suppose. But I like AJ Ewart. He's making cuts all over the place. I can't say that for everybody else from the Great North. So AJ Ewart plus 680.
And I'm going to the top UK and Ireland market this week. Jordan Smith at plus 148. So David Skins, who's going up against 3-for-3 here, but he hasn't finished above 20th. In a regular PGA Tour event in the United States in more than 2 years. I want you to all follow that. Yes, I picked and I was selected. That's your stat of the week, Patrick, just for you. In the United States, no top 20, nothing higher than 20th.
Corrales?
In a regular PGA Tour event. That doesn't count. It's not a regular PGA
Tour. Does the fall count?
No, and alternate events don't count either. So that's
The fall doesn't count.
It's not a regular PGA Tour event. Yeah. Okay, this John Parry's good on approach, but he's a major coin flip with the putter each week, so I'm out on him. And Seamus Power's approach numbers stink this season. Plus, that guy cost me a first-round bet earlier this year. I don't know if it was Early Edge or this show, but he missed like a three-footer, and he's not good enough for the no-bet list, but he would be on it after that debacle. So
what tournament?
I don't know, but it was really bad. It was like
That's disappointing.
It was bad. So we're going Jordan Smith. Who's actually striping it pretty darn well right now. He had a solo third at Innisbrook, which is kind of a similar course with water, you know, the up in Florida. So water everywhere, I'll take a shot with that, the Valspar. So Jordan Smith is my play here at the 3M Open, plus 148, top UK and Ireland. Okay, let's move on to finishing.
I think Sia's got something.
Oh, Sia, sorry.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, and we should probably do a little bit of a better job of this. I mentioned that the three ball round one matchup is over at DK. I also mentioned that the top South American best number happens to be over at DK as well, plus 132. But the tournament matchup, I should clarify here, that one's, I don't know if that's at BetMGM. It's definitely at FanDuel, though. So again, I hate for people to like always be searching around. I know there's sometimes a lean over to DK with this matchup portion because of how I play them. But Kurt Kitayama minus 125 over Hideki is a FanDuel matchup. And people that are asking my unit size, this screen, the tournament matchup screen, almost always a full unit, whereas finishing positions are a half a unit.
You don't want to know my unit size. Yeah. Okay, we're just gonna move on from there. Yeah, I see Patrick's face. Okay, we're gonna just switch the screen. Move on to finishing positions.
Missed it,
Patrick. Yeah, that was.
So there you go. I know a lot of you are interested in my unit size.
That's a very standard thing to say, unless you're a child.
This has nothing to do with that, but yes, Silas Searcy in the chat. We will talk about my date during the OAD portion of the show.
Yeah, we'll talk about units later.
Patrick, start with, you got some bombs away at the top 20 market this week. Start us with whoever you want on this list.
Yeah, we got a couple small units on these bunch. And speaking of small players, Davis Chatfield and Zach Blair, they might be the two shortest players in this field. But Blair, I mean, this guy finished top 10 at the ISCO and the John Deere Classic. He's played well here in the past, so going to keep riding Blair for a top 20 at plus 430. Davis Chatfield is feeling confident, had the top five finish at the ISCO Championship, had a nice final round at Corrales as well. He's actually, I think he shot 65 at Corrales on Sunday. He's actually the best, like, proximity-wise from – I think it's like 100 to 125 and then 125 to 150, like impressive wedge players. So very accurate off the tee. He's going to hit like 11 fairways a day. So I don't mind that. And then if you want to go completely opposite, right? Guy who keeps it in front of him, completely opposite, Nick Dunlap. Remember this guy? Top 20 also at 8.5 to 1, top 20 at Corrales, made the cut at the John Deere Classic. Driver is starting to kind of, dispersion is probably as, you know, wider than two football fields. We're down to like one football field almost wide, by the way. And so just going to take a risk, see what happens. I might wake up Thursday and he's 7 over through two.
Yeah.
But if he's not, I think he does have the talent to finish inside the top 20 at 8.5 to 1.
The other thing is that he might just miss it so far left and right that he misses the water completely.
Yes. Remember when Gary Woodland did that on 18?
Yes.
Yes. That also corrupted in my mind, Josh. Thank you.
I think each of these is worth a unit. Take a shot. Let's throw a one unit. Big units only. Josh, you're going some bigger plays only. Start with Ben Coles, who I also like.
Yeah, taking a page from Patrick's playbook, going for some bigger numbers in the top 20 market. Ben Coles, top 20 plus 225. If his name and his was different with the same profile, it wouldn't be that hard to get this number way closer to like even money. He's been playing really well. T19, T3, T15 each of the last 3 weeks. He hasn't missed a cut on either the PGA Tour or the Korn Ferry Tour since he won in Charlotte in that whirlwind weekend when he went from winning a Korn Ferry event to qualifying for the US Open in the same, you know, 48 hours. That's sick. And over the last 20 rounds in this field, third in approach, 14th in putting, first in bogey avoidance, first in putting from 10 to 15 feet, and first in driving accuracy. He won't be on my outright card because I watched him cough up the 2024 CJ Cup. Mm-hmm. That was pretty bad. That was really bad. But top 20 in this field at plus 225, I will take it. Zach Bouchot, top 20 at plus 320. Bit of a swing here, but he just kind of finishes somewhere around top 20 in a lot of these kinds of fields all year. T9 at Corrales, T22 at the Chuck Schwab, T6 at the Byron Nelson, T24 in Myrtle, and then T21 in Puerto Rico. The iron play is really, really good. And I think the putter and kind of that 10 to 15 foot range will has been really good. And with his wedge play, which is also pretty solid, I think he'll have a lot of putts in that range this week. And then top 20, Carl Phillips, plus 495. One of these talented young players that I think I'd enjoy watching this weekend. The thing with Carl is that if he has great, a good driving week, he can absolutely finish top 20, but he is also on the list of could be plus 8 through 4 on Thursday morning. Maybe it'll be the former, and plus 495 for a top 20 is not too shabby.
Yeah, I kind of feel what Rick is saying in the chat here. He says you could pick a name out of a hat this week and play it, and could hit it this week with this field, especially in finishing positions. But see, you're going a little bit safer than these other two. I mean, you and I really like Doug Gim this week. You gave this out on the early edge, I believe, and it's a really good value for a top 30.
Yeah, and you could play top 20 if you want, plus 172. You could ladder it to top 10, which is going to be a huge number. I think it was Pete Kettles in the chat that said, you're basically 29 spots too long on Doug Gim, which I get it. I like him to potentially win as well. I mean, if he's going to win, the ball striking has to stay true, but he obviously has to find the putter, which he has. It happens. It just doesn't happen that often. This is a place where he's had success putting and he's had a lack of success putting. So you just don't know what type of Doug Gim you're going to get. But if we see a spike putter, Doug Gim can win this tournament. In my mind, there's no question, especially if you're considering Scottie Scheffler just not being present at this tournament, if you know what I mean. So I like him a lot. Just some good history here. Mac Meisner has some good history here as well. And he's starting to play a lot better. Mac Meisner, top 30, plus 118. This is obviously including ties as well. I think Meisner's on the come up for sure. And we're starting to see that over the last handful of tournaments. He's spiked with his finishing positions. So I think this is, just like you said, very conservative, but also very comfy. I'll take the top 30 plus 118.
You guys talked a little bit, Josh did, about Ben Coles. I mean, after what he did at the John Deere, I mean, that's no bet list worthy, but for an outright. But I think he's going to be in it this weekend, at least in the top 20, top 30, top 40. So we got top 20 plus 225, top 30 plus 134, top 40 at minus 116, the mini ladder there. And then I think this is a Sia favorite. Jesper Svensson, I think you bet him a few times before, right?
Maybe 2 years ago or so, when he was first kind of coming onto the scene.
He's only 121st in the FedEx Cup. I don't remember what does he need to be to keep some kind of status for next year? 70 or...
Well,
top 125 to play in the fall, right? Is that how it is, Patrick? Is that how this is for Jesper to be able to play in the FedEx or to play in the fall to keep his tour card? What does he need to be in the regular season ranking wise in the FedEx Cup?
Well, it depends how many people are playing in these fall events. What is he right now?
He's 121st.
Yeah, he's fine. He'll play in those.
All right, so he needs to make moves to keep his tour card. Three top 10s this season, Puerto Rico, CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, RBC Canadian Open. He's gained at least 3 strokes off the tee in 4 of his last 5 events. And he's 14th on debut here last year, gained 5 on approach and 3 putting. So Jesper, top 20 plus 310, top 30 plus 186, and top 40 at plus 120. We'll take a shot on another mini ladder to see if we can make some money. Victor Perez got us a little bit last week on these mini ladders, so I will take it. Coming up next, there's a new name on the no bet list. Can you guys guess it? I think you might be surprised. Give me a few names in the chat before we unveil it. First, let's hear from one of our sponsors.
Scottie Scheffler.
Crispin, that's a good name. Good guess. Siwoo Kim is a good guess. See, you want to take a guess? Who did I
have? Really good guess.
You put Matt Fitzpatrick on there.
He's already on there.
Yeah, but you did it again.
Did it again. Okay. Josh, who did I put on there? I mean, it probably.
I think you just doubled up on Sam Burns. You put him there twice. Yeah.
I like these guesses in the chat. I think Siwoo Kim's a great guess.
So we got
John Rahm.
Rahm's a good one.
John Rahm's a good guess. Fitzpatrick,
great guess.
Scotty, see, you hinted at it. Okay.
Siwoo's not on it already.
Because
that's like King. That's like King don't win.
I mean, it's true. I probably should put him on there, but. Let's unveil the newest name on the no bet list is a guy that cost me a
incredible.
And I love betting.
This guy's a bummer, by the way. This guy is a bummer.
I love betting this. Patrick, we've talked about him. You think he's a buzzkill. I gave out a parlay with Aaron Wise
for months.
Aaron Wise, Ben James, top 20 at the Corrales.
Ooh.
And Russ Henley and Bob McIntyre, top 20, paid 51-1. That was in my long shot section. Bob McIntyre was there all week, and he just melts down and starts throwing clubs on Sunday. So guess what, Bob? Patrick has been calling for this for months. Patrick, you want to elaborate more?
He's just not a good steward of the game, I would say. What happened at Augusta National was shameful. Gets another code of conduct warning at the Open. He doesn't even care afterwards. He's like, that's just who I am, which, you know, one perspective, I do appreciate that, owning who you are, but at another, you know, as Lou Brusco says in the chat, drone warfare and Bobby Mack do not mix. We know how to get in this guy's head. It's a drone. First tee shot Thursday morning. Boom, drone. He's already going at it. I just think it's not a great steward of the game currently.
I mean, act like you've been there before. You know, like this is not an uncommon occurrence. There are drones every week on tour. Every week.
The Canadian Open one, still all the time. Still all the time.
It's a bummer. I mean, we went from, you know, homesick to brought his dad on the bag. They won together. Mm-hmm. Like, that should be like the headline of Bobby Mack, like forever, unless he like wins a major. And right now it's just kind of like he's a moody golfer. That's a bummer.
I bet this guy like five times this year and he just keeps throwing money away and he's not a good steward of the game, as Patrick has said for months. So Bobby Mack, you're done.
Never won in America, you see. How's that for a stat?
That's right. A trend. That is a damning trend right there.
You're right.
Canada, Scotland.
I have bad news, guys. I think Sam Burns is going to win soon. We kind of talked about this before. I'm a little concerned. That's going to be the next X. Yeah. This week, I don't know if we're – I mean, maybe Corey Connors doesn't win unless it's San Antonio. Grazerman is going back next week to the site of where he earned this ranking. Earn this place on this list in Detroit. So we'll talk about that more next week. All right, let's see what we have for outrights on this show. Boy, we have a busy screen. So Sobel, who's not here, he's recovering. Hopefully he's back next week. He's got Pearson Cootie, 45-1. Corey Connors, 48-1. Davis Thompson at 90-1. Patrick, let's hear your top three.
Tom Kim at 35-1, coming off the miscut at the Open. I think I'm going to just kind of take the same page out of the Scheffler playbook going into the Open, where the miscut, not the end of the world. He gets over quicker, gets his body acclimated to the time zone, a little rest, whirlwind couple weeks coming off that win at the Scottish Open. Iron play is still fantastic. He's still an accurate driver of the golf ball, and he's someone who, like, look, if it's Scottie Scheffler versus Tom Kim, he's got a fighting chance in that scenario. We saw him, force a playoff with him at the Travelers Championship. I don't think he's intimidated by him. So at 35-1, absolutely. I also do have Max Homa here in the Scheffler market, unlike some people here, which I know you guys will talk to. So I'll leave him for you guys, but want to make that clear. I'm on Homa again. Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen, 75-1, top 10 at the Open. I'm just high on this guy in general. He's driving the golf ball fantastic and seems to be getting more and more comfortable on the PGA Tour in his first year. So that's great. And then Michael Brennan, golf course, you're going to hit a lot of drivers. I was surprised that he was one of the 14 guys to make the cut in all four majors this year, which is pretty impressive, I think. And similar to Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen, or as the Under Armour golf guy says, the Rasmanian devil. I like Brennan at 75-1 too.
All right, fair enough. See, this is, I think, your biggest outright card of the year.
It is. It's the longest list for sure. And just so everybody knows, I advertise it. It's just 0.7 units ish for me every week. This one's 0.8. And to make sense of it, this is 7.5x. And I'm just going to put, like, let's assume $100 is, and I have to say this because I never have this many people. Let's assume $100 is a full unit. And I'm just going to go down the board how much money I would have if that were the case. $17. This is just going down from 35-1 on. 17, 16, 14, 12, 12, 9. The return on all of those is somewhere between 595 and 630. So 7.5x the $80 putting out there. Long list starting at 35-1. I'm not going to talk about all these guys because we've already talked about all these guys. These are all in the without Scottie Scheffler market. Two guys I wasn't going to have on my card, but I really was going to feel some FOMO was Jackson Suber and John Kiefer. So I couldn't live with myself if they ended up winning these tournaments or this tournament. So those are the two guys that I kind of added at 35 and 50 to one. The others are Doug Gim at 38 to one, again, in the without Scottie Scheffler market. Ball striking, but off the tee for Doug Gim has been so unbelievably good lately. Again, he's got to get it going with the putter, but he's done that before. Mac Meisner, everything trending up for him. Max Homa, everything trending up for him. And William Mao was my first bet in the without Scottie Scheffler market. Came to the early edge with it at 90 to 1. Bet it at 69 to 1 in the without Scottie Scheffler market. Now it's 66. T7 here last year, a great ball striker as well. The long irons leave something to be desired a little bit, and the putter certainly does as well. We've seen him win before, and we've seen him get hot with the putter. This would be the type of green complex I'd expect him to get hot if he were going to. So give me William Mao at 66.
I love this card, and I apologize for mushing three of your golfers, Sia, with three. And Josh, I apologize for mushing one of your four. Now, it's interesting what you did here. Because I don't know if we've had this all year, where Scottie Scheffler at these odds, you're playing him to win, and then you're playing the without Scottie. I mean, we've done it for other golfers. C and I have done that, and that's and that's fine. But why are you putting Scottie on this list? You're that confident for a guy that's won one time all year?
Yes,
he's winning.
But to me, this is a business decision, a negotiation tool. When I can go to the big wigs at the end of the year and say I had X outrights and one of them can be Scottie. They don't need to know. They don't need to know. It's a negotiation tactic. No, but in all seriousness, I just think he's going to win the golf tournament. I think this is actually a field that he can finish 67th in putting and still win the golf tournament, I think. And if he putts average, then he'll win by a bunch, I think. The other thing I wanted to mention before I go through the other three outrights here is this is a golf tournament that it has winners that are like flushers known for their ball striking and have just had really great putting weeks. Like that's happened before. I mean, Johnny Vegas, Kurt Kitayama, Tony Finau's won here, Cam Champs won here. Like this is the type of course that, you know, get really hot with the putter is not exactly something that hasn't happened here before. Some of those guys like Doug Gim, that is just one hot putting week away from winning a golf tournament. I think this is clearly the type of place that can happen. I've got three in the without Scottie market. Tom Kim, 23 to 1. I like Patrick's number for Tom Kim in the with Scottie market is way more fun. But I just think Tom Kim, the way he's hitting the golf ball right now and the confidence he's playing with, wanted him on the card. Ben James, 40 to 1. I think he's a stud, clearly not afraid. And I think right now with his best stuff, he's ready to win a golf tournament like this. So 40 to 1. And then Emiliano Grillo, 78 to 1. I'll be honest, DC, I was on the fence about Grillo. I kind of, you know, circled him in FRLs, and then you actually already had him on the page, and I was like, 78 to 1 in the without Scottie market for a guy with his course history and the putter coming around. I think that's too good for me to pass up, so added him to the card at 78 to 1.
So Josh, what I did earlier yesterday, Grillo's number on DK was 92 to 1 plus 9200. I parlayed him because plus 9200 is not good enough for me to make an outright clearly a single. So I parlayed him with Scottie Scheffler, top 20, got 100 to 1. So that's my Emiliano Grillo ticket. So Grillo without Scottie and Scottie top 20, 100 to 1. We got him 78 to 1 for the show. I'm also on Suber, 35 to 1, like Sia, Doug Gim, 38 to 1. That's my top play. And Max Homa, 50 to 1. So Homa's number is closer to 40 to 1 on a lot of books. Sia, you and I were texting about this earlier. I got this 50 to 1 in the without market on Fanatics. So take a look. That is the best number that I could find in this without market on Homa, and it's a significant difference. So the Grillo numbers also are all over the place. The 78 to 1 is still on DK. I think on FanDuel it was like 55 to 1. So there's some that are all over the place for this event. Shop around for the best number, as we always recommend on this program. So going to long shots here. Sobel's got a couple that he gave out. And Eric Van Rooyen played golf at the University of Minnesota. I bet this guy before at this tournament, and he cost me money. So I will never bet Eric Van Rooyen again, but he's not worthy of the no bet list. So if he's not, if he's never going to do well here, then he probably should be on the Korn Ferry or somewhere else. So, but Sobel's taking a shot, 290-1. His round robins that we always love, we got Pearson Coody, Corey Connors, and Davis Thompson to parlay with Henrik Stenson, Cameron Percy, in the Senior Open. Okay, fine. That's solid. And he's also throwing Aaron Wise at 135-1 in the without market. Okay. Sia, you are also going to throw in Aaron Wise at 135-1 in the without market. He's played well lately, but you really think he can cross the finish line here?
In the without market, I think it's reasonable. I mean, you know, he had last week at Corrales, two of his four rounds were really good. I think the conditions, the wind, I think that was starting to get to him. I was watching that along with the Open Championship. I mean, he was in striking distance. He just couldn't get there. But again, he's on a trajectory where it's starting to feel like it's going to be steady as opposed to a flash. I'm not saying he's going to be like top 15, top 10 every tournament. But I mean, Aaron Wise might be back, at least in the sense of being competitive in a handful of tournaments per year. And if that's the case in this field, while he's on the upside of his trajectory, I'll go ahead and throw a few bucks on 135-1 without Scotty.
Josh, you're going with another 135-1 in the without market. And this is a name we haven't talked about potentially all year on this show. And if we have, it's been like once or twice. Matt Kuchar.
Yeah, this is my no talent opposite of young play that we discussed at the top of the show. 135-1 for Matt Kuchar. Kuchar plays like once a month, basically. And when he has this summer, he's banking like top 25 finishes. He's got some solid course history here. And in those last three tournaments over the last 3 months, he's gained like 15 strokes on the greens. And in the last three tournaments, in the three starts at the 3M, he's gained 15 strokes in approach, including 10 in 2024. When Johnny Vegas won. So what if those two things just happened at the same time and he has a great iron play week at a place that he's done it before and has another great putting week? I don't know. Maybe 135-1 isn't too bad. And then a top 40 parlay with just a bunch of guys that I think are really, really talented, that 60-1 on six of them to finish inside the top 40, Jackson Koivun, Ben James, Michael Brennan, Preston Stout, Carl Phillips, and Johnny Kiefer. That one's just fun. I won't lie to you. That's a fun one to root for. So that's what we're going with there.
Josh, I will take your six leg parlay and raise it a couple more legs.
Sure.
For a top 40 parlay. We got Ben Coles. We got Corey Connors, Doug Ginn, Emiliano Grillo, Jackson Suber, Jordan Smith, Max Homa, and CS pick William Mao at nearly 111-1.
Sia, which one are you taking? You can only take one top 40 parlay. Which one is it?
Well, I'm going to take the more conservative one because it's more likely to hit. As far as your talent top 40 parlay, if there was one guy that I didn't think was going to make it, it would probably be Carl Phillips.
For sure.
And we know the upside is there for him, but we just know that like he could completely detour in round 100%. One. I like all Brennan. I'm so unsure of, because outside of what you said about the majors, like he's been a little erratic, but I like Preston Stout a lot. I like Jackson Koivun. Ben James makes a ton of sense. And Johnny Kiefer, of course, I like as well. So, I mean, if it was me, I might just drop Carl Phillips and see what happens, but I like it a lot.
I think it was something closer to like 30-1 without Carl. Admittedly, like this is the long shots and parlays page. We got to get a little juicier. But without Carl, I think it was like roughly half that. I think he was the longest number to finish top 40.
That makes sense.
And we need to give out live picks. Well, we can still give out live picks because I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that much longer on this show.
Sensitive subject, you see.
It's apparently no more. The Asian Tour is no longer partnering with Live, so the walls are falling apart there. But we're at Live UK this week, and I'm going with the trends here. So John Rahm and Joaquin Niemann have been in the top five both years that they played at JCB, whatever the course is called. And Cam Smith and Taylor Gooch have been in the top 10 both years that they played there at nearly 33-1. So that's we're going with that. If I were to pick an outright, give me Joaquin Niemann. He has a first and a second here. Rahm won last year. Niemann finished second. But I think Niemann at plus 880 would be my pick. for the LIV Golf UK.
Now, you got any long shots for LIV? Maybe like Jose Luis Ballester.
He did finish in the top 10 here. Yeah, but he's an ASU guy, so I don't want to pick him.
Yeah. Ooh, I like him. That guy's got moxie. The way he made the cut and then actually continued on the weekend at the Open Championship and was actually pretty decent. That's a good. I'm going to bet that.
He's my guy this week.
But wait a second. Oh. I'm surprised you, as a steward of the game, are okay with him.
I did not say I liked him.
I'm just because he
he's that guy. I forgot.
He's the guy that peed in the tributary of Ray's Creek or something like
hey,
that.
Hey, when you got to go, you got to go, man.
You got to hold
like
it.
Like I said,
there's a John on the tee.
I heard he tried to go back to the scene of the crime like Bryson did too, and they wouldn't let him.
Yes. But okay.
I agree with you, Sia. It was impressive fashion for him to make that cut.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have waited this long in the show before we get to OAD. You want Sia teased it.
Don't hate that.
I do like Mean Dean. Yeah. It is time for an EC Social Life update. You guys wanted this. So last week on the show.
Just solo cam it. You know what I'm saying, Matt?
I want you guys on the screen here. Sia, you gave great advice in the final 2 minutes of last week's show.
Obviously.
I had a date after the show with a nice young lady. The date lasted 3.5 hours. We had a great time, and we did dinner then dessert. You gave it -105 odds for a second date, which took place on Saturday. We went to the Arizona Diamondbacks St. Louis Cardinal game. She's from the Midwest, so she said, "Let's do a baseball game." It was a matinee at Chase Field. We did that, and we stayed out for, I think, another like 6 hours after that. We really had a nice time. Now, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen from here? But it's like a first-round leader. You start well, and you just got to hope you can finish. So I don't think she's watching the show. I fortunately did not send her the link to this at the moment. I'm not going to tell her about it. But I do like her. I am very interested, and we'll see what happens. And there you have it. Thank you.
This has
your advice on this show last week.
Patrick, you're on mute. So you actually did you ask probing questions as you were listening?
Because I always come on, Sia. I always ask.
Well, okay.
These other girls, they rarely ask questions.
So what was the difference?
Yeah,
she's normal.
Okay. No, that's not the difference. That's how you are perceiving.
You had to look
the
in the mirror.
Yeah, you made a small adjustment. You tweaked it a little bit. Abnormal becomes normal.
Might start playing zone instead of man. You know,
like, apology accepted.
I made some tweaks. You're right. I see you inspired me. I mean, I was ready to go after this show, and the date was less than an hour later, and I was hopped up, and it went really well. She's a very nice girl, and here's to hoping, because God knows there are so many that fall by the cracks with me. Let's hope that this one finally is a good one. And she keeps me around.
I see this as you having like a 36-hole lead right now. Mm. In terms of like, if we're like trying to like lock up a girlfriend scenario, you've got the 36-hole lead only by a stroke, but still you got a lead.
I feel so positive, EC. I can,
Patrick, you know how I feel right now? Like Patrick Cantlay in the 2024 Genesis Invitational, where he had a five-stroke lead after round two.
Why would you do that to yourself? I thought you were going to say the 2021 FedEx Cup playoffs.
Nope.
That's where you're going to go.
Nope.
Where he defeats the big bad Bryson in a marathon playoff. Then he wins $20 million the next week. That's going to be you, man. No. You're going to be your hero.
No, EC is Rory at the 2026 Masters. Huge lead at the halfway point. It's going to get dicey. We're going to get through it, though.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you'll win the golf tournament. It'll be there will be triumph. You'll laugh like Rory did on the 18th green. It'll be great.
Yes. Knowing my history, I'm totally Patrick Cantlaying it from the Genesis Invitation.
Listen, I'm giving you some buffer. We got buffer, man. We got buffer.
This is all positivity, EC. We're all positive here.
Crispin's right, and then we'll move forward. He says, just got to make some putts. Yeah? I mean, and you got to hope that there's no Hideki Matsuyama out there that's going to shoot a 61 on Sunday and ruin me. So just want to point that out. All right, let's go to OAD. There you go. There's your social life update. Here's to hoping that she hangs on. We got, what, 6 weeks left of this show in the regular season and FedEx Cup playoffs. Let's hope she sticks around that long. Fingers crossed. All right, what do we have for OAD here? It was not good for Josh and me with Maddie Fitz. Sia, you're still hanging in, still in the money. Kristen, up front, still. We've got Stonewall made a move over our guy Hef. Mutanda, Stonewall.
He's gaining ground.
Now, listen, Kristen.
Retreat! Like,
Kristen, you got this. Just, I hope you save some for the. You got this. You've been destroying everybody all year. I hope you hold on for the thousand. See ya.
I need that type of energy when it comes to the dating, right? I mean,
there's lots
of time for Kristen to cough up that lead, but you've got no doubt. I need that same energy.
At least I can say this: the date that I had was not an OAD. Look at it that way.
Yeah,
not a one of the, yeah.
I'm rooting for Stonewall Jackson. He's been around all year. It's been an impressive pursuit, a great campaign, one that'll get him in the history books, nevertheless.
Yeah.
So I had Victor Hovland last week, so it hasn't gone super well in OAD, tumbling down to 29. I am going to go with Max Homa. Not a guy I ever thought I'd be playing in OAD, but I just can't deny the fact that he's done it before, that he's got good recent history. I'm just going to roll with, like, there were other guys I had in mind, including guys that are on this list, Tom Kim, Doug Gim, but Max Homa's been there before, and he might kind of be back. And if that's the case, he'll be a great one and done pick.
Patrick, Tom Kim, you've been touting him all show.
Tom Kim, yeah, just going to roll with him. Don't think he'll be uber popular. Who knows? I don't have a great read this week, but going with him.
Josh, Jackson Koivun, you're confident in the youngster.
Yeah, I'm kind of it seems like people have cooled off a little bit. And I mean, he's batting 500 for top tens as a professional. I think there will be less people on him than there were at the John Deere, and he fits that bill of I wouldn't mind betting on him to win. I think there's that type of upside, but I also am not sure there's any point as we get into these last handful of weeks where I'll be going back to Jackson Koivun. So I like both sides of that equation, and I'll go with him this week.
And I'm looking to make up some ground here as I keep dropping. Give me Doug Gim, who some of us like, to win this golf tournament and jump Josh and jump Patrick and still not come close to Sia for the second straight year of this one and done competition. By the way, if any of you in the chat know who Stonewall Jackson is, get him or her in the chat. We'd love to know more about the inspiration behind the Stonewall Jackson name. 671 Stonefish says EC's dating life in golf terms is bogey. I would say more like triple bogey or quadruple bogey the way things go. So that's, I think,
but you're teeing it up, man. You're the man in the arena.
Let us hope. We got a good one. Let's just hope I find a way to not Patrick can't lay it and find a way to close. Fingers crossed. Okay, it's time for best bets. And this, I know, is going to be an interesting segment. We've got some wild picks, but let us start with a first round play from Sia Najat.
Let's cash early. Max Homa in a 3-ball matchup. Max Homa -106 over Jake Knapp. Jake Knapp, I just don't think Jake Knapp is back yet. He's got good history here, and he's got great course fit, but we haven't seen him return yet. What we have seen is Max Homa return. Great recent form. He played here last year, and then 2020, 2019 were the two prior times. He's played well in all three, frankly. And John Deere Classic, I think we got some maybe TPC Deer Run comp course here, stuff here. Second place there, but he's been good in general lately. Really like this play, Max Homa -106 over Jake Knapp, round one.
Josh, you are a fan of Ben James yet again in the top 30 market this week.
Yeah, Ben James, top 30 at +108, doing nothing but moving in the right direction. Top 15s each of the last 2 weeks, and basically gaining across the bag, except for a slight loss around the greens a couple weeks ago, but gained across the bag last week. I think he's an uber talented guy, and I'm still getting plus money to finish inside the top 30. So +108 for a Ben James top 30.
Patrick, your best bet of the week, like your certainty has something to do with Zach Blair, really?
And we're playing the aggressive route, EC, with a top 20 at north of 4-1. Zach Blair, his last two tournaments have been a top 10 at the John Deere Classic and a top 10 at the ISCO Championship. He's had a top 20 at this event before. He's doing everything fantastic. This is a place where the small ball type of gameplay can survive. That's certainly Zach Blair's style of play, iron play, short game, putting. I'm loving everything out of him right now. So for a top 20 in a field of this caliber that significantly drops off after Scottie Scheffler, I think it's more than doable.
Fair enough. And my best bet, can't believe I'm doing this, Emiliano Grillo, top 30 at plus 170. Six trips here, five top 25s and two top threes. It's his number one, or the number one comp course for TPC Twin Cities on Data Golf is Innisbrook, where they play the Valspar. Grillo recorded his highest finish of 2026 there, a T7 in March. So we'll take our chance there. Putter's been red hot. U.S. Open, John Deere Classic gained more than 12 strokes combined, and he has gained 2.8 or more strokes putting in four straight trips to this event. Let's hope he keeps it going. Like to see him actually win the event, but I'll take a top 30 at plus 170, worst case. Gentlemen, before we get going, I just want to point out that a few weeks ago on the show, I asked you World Cup picks. I mean, I gave out the chalk, but Spain got it done. And I can't brag in front of Sobel. I got something. So maybe, Patrick, it was me. I gave out nice. Spain. So we'll take that. That was good. Too bad I can't pick an outright in this golf market to, you know, save my life right now. But okay, I think we have something this week, the 3M Open next week. Really, actually interesting field at the last Rocket Classic that we will see in Detroit. Now, Patrick, you will not be here for the show, but you're devastated.
So many memories.
Do you want to give us an early pick for the Rocket Classic, which broke my heart last year when I had two of three guys in the playoff and neither won?
Johnny Kiefer is going to win next week.
Johnny Kiefer is going to win. See ya.
And Josh and I will be talking to him tomorrow on the Golf on CBS YouTube channel.
Potentially.
Tune in for that.
Waiting to hear back from the tier. Waiting to hear back from the tier on timing, but hopefully we do chat with him tomorrow.
Are you going to tell him, Patrick, that he's going to win next week?
Probably not.
Can you tell him to win this week?
Yeah.
Look, I'll suss it out, guys.
All right. Thanks.
See, one last thing here. So we gave out, I gave out a play on the early edge over 7.5 in the Rays Blue Jays game. There have been, I think, 14 runners on base in 2.5 innings and only 3 runs.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
It's wild, but we're just not. So we got chances. Larry the Maestro has Tampa Bay. They're up 3-0. Fingers crossed. Josh, go ahead.
Two things. One, 14 in a row. Red Sox.
Yes.
Jeez.
Upon a time had to come in here and write them off. No longer 14 in a row. Mm-hmm. The other thing, I live in the DC area. They're playing the Orioles this week. So I have an MLB TV subscription. I can't watch the Red Sox because the Orioles are blacked out. And I have YouTube TV and whatever it's like, MASN, whatever. Yeah, they don't have a relationship with YouTube TV, mm-hmm. So I'm not subscribing to.
I can watch.
What are we? It's a regional sport that you can't. Because if he has something other than YouTube TV,
I don't have YouTube TV. I have FiOS or I don't even know.
So that's why. But I can't. YouTube TV doesn't have it. I can't watch it with the subscription because of the blackout. What are we doing?
What are we doing here? I know.
They got rained out today, though. So if there's ever such thing as a W rainout, it might have been this one.
And there you have it. Well, guys, great show as always. You guys in the chat, awesome. And thank you for all your support. And let's hope I make you proud in my social life somehow. Sobel, we hope you come back. I doubt you're listening, but in case you are, hope you come back. Matt, behind the scenes, you and Josh and Ben are the best producers that we know. So for Patrick and Josh and Sia, I'm EC. Thanks for listening. And as I always like to say, let's hit it big. Good luck.
Podcasts.